This is John Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 14th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off Jalen today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The character actor Ned Beatty has died at the age of 83. He acted in 150 movies, including the iconic Network. While the movie Network might be better known for the Howard Beale rant, "I am as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore," there is another scene from the film that is more important. It is a scene where Beatty speaks to Beale across a long conference room and table and gives a speech about how the world is a business, Mr. Beale. He talks about many political and economic aspects of the world, including the international currency markets. If you've not seen Network in a while, it is worth rewatching. There's a link for the scene with Beatty's speech in today's newsletter. The CME Group has issued the following notice: amendments to and delisting of certain CME and CBOT products in connection with the elimination of most CME and all CBOT open outcry trading pits and related frequently asked questions for members and member firms. In connection with the decision to permanently close all CBOT open outcry trading pits and all CME open outcry trading pits other than the CME Eurodollar options trading pit, the following CME and CBOT product delistings and product amendments are being implemented. In comments prepared for the Financial Stability Oversight Board, SEC Chairman Gary Gensler talked about Warren Buffett and Hans Christian Andersen. Of the latter, he quoted from Hans Christian Andersen's The Emperor's New Clothes to comment on LIBOR. Gensler wrote, "The Emperor has no clothes." Brendan Bradley, no dummy himself, has had his second Dummies book published. ESG Investing for Dummies is now available for immediate delivery in Europe. The American Financial Exchange co-hosted a webinar titled "A Conversation on Banking and Sustainability in the 21st Century" with Mark Carney on May 27th. Carney is the UN Special Envoy for Climate Action and Finance and Prime Minister Johnson's Climate Finance Advisor for COP26. He was introduced by Richard Sandor, Aaron Director, Lecturer in Law and Economics. Following the keynote, Dr. Sandor hosted a roundtable with Carney, the Honorable J. Chris Giancarlo, former chairman of the CFTC and AFX's independent director, and Thomas J. Miles, Dean, and Clifton R. Musser, professor of law and economics, the University of Chicago Law School. I have sleep apnea. I use a CPAP machine from Philips to mitigate this issue and help me sleep overnight without gasping for air because I stop breathing. Today, Philips announced a recall for their CPAP respirators and other devices because of a foam part meant to help keep it quiet that can break apart and potentially cause cancer. Just another case of what doesn't kill you can kill you. JLN reader Bruce Sunderland, a retired systems analyst slash contracting consultant at small companies in Washington, D.C., who is not in the financial markets industry, has donated to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. As a retiree, he is eligible to receive JLN for free, and he does. In appreciation of our service, he gave a donation to our campaign. Here's a testimonial he wrote for JLN in 2020. "I am retired and manage my own investments from the Washington, D.C. area. I have been reading the JLN for several years. It is an excellent aggregation of financial and business articles, along with John Lothian's editorial comment on industry topics. Subject matters are in sections that steer readers to areas of interest. As the world changes, JLN has added appropriate sections, for example, Brexit. Another reader aid is the list of most viewed articles from the previous day. This is a great newsletter and a daily must read." Thank you to Bruce and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Join Bruce in supporting our JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign and help us preserve industry history. Just to clarify, on Friday we mentioned the small exchange announced plans to list cannabis futures later this month. The small exchange futures contract is based on an equity index. All cannabis industry related equities included in the index are listed individually on NYSE or NASDAQ. The futures contract will be cleared by the Options Clearing Corporation, Suzanne Cosgrove reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from the FT. Market veterans mourn slow death of historic trading pits. London's metals trading ring lives on while COVID-19 hastens market modernization. When a young law student called Leo Melamed arrived at 110 North Franklin, Chicago for a job interview at what he thought was a legal firm in 1952, the chaotic scene he witnessed blew him away. My comment, this story mentions the Open Outcry Traders History Project and includes quotes from myself. Here's another story from the FT. The end of privacy. Central banks plan to launch digital coins. As regulators crack down on cryptocurrencies, policymakers develop state-run versions. The dilemma central banks face over how to tackle the world's rapidly growing cryptocurrency market has been thrown into stark relief in recent days by two very different announcements. On Thursday, global regulator, the Basel Committee on Banking Supervision, said that cryptocurrencies are some of the world's riskiest assets and called for tougher capital rules and stricter oversight on investors' holdings. My comment, that kind of backfired for the libertarian-leaning crypto crowd. Here's another story from the FT. Fastly's cautionary tale of internet fallibility. Digital outages periodically reveal the web's inherent flaw, human beings. Excessive, fragile, overdependent on unproven companies, and prone to human errors that can wipe out service to millions, the outages that often hit online services can make the internet feel like a house of cards. Digital life has become so important during the pandemic. Why do we depend on a communications network whose reliability seems so volatile? My comment, should you be mapping your exposure to different internet hubs or concentration of firms with your investments all using the same services? Another story from the Financial Times. Bitcoin and the wealthy, the very rich, are adding fuel to the Bitcoin boom, but many are wary of a bubble. 10 years ago, Sandra Rowe was working in finance in London when some currency trading friends told her about Bitcoin. The cryptocurrency had been released only a couple of years previously and was still far from a global phenomena. Bitcoin was only really known in geeky tech circles, and eventually currency traders in London found out about it around 2010, says Rowe. She invested in the cryptocurrency, made a substantial fortune, and is now chief executive of the Global Blockchain Business Council, a Swiss nonprofit organization that promotes the technology behind cryptocurrencies. My comment, former CME Group executive Sandra Rowe, now chief executive of the Global Blockchain Business Council. What I want to know is if she is a hodler. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most clicked story Friday was the Wall Street Journal's How the FBI Got Colonial Pipeline's Ransom Money Back. Second was Bitcoin Plans Royals Crypto World Seeking Regulatory Clarity from Yahoo Finance. Third was What is Payment for Order Flow Behind the Trading Controversy at Robinhood and Other Brokers from Barron's. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 15th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Longtime industry executive K. James Kleinups has passed away. His son Jeffrey shared on Facebook. Condolences to his family and friends. JLN is working on its MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunities program for industry interns and younger employees. We are targeting the middle of the third week of July. though we have not selected a specific date yet. The event will be virtual and just an hour long, but will also feature additional videos for the attendees to watch later at their convenience. Ed Tilley, Chairman and CEO of CBOE Global Markets, will be the headliner for the live event in a question and answer session with me. We are confirming the other parts of the event before announcing the date. If you have some interest in the event for your interns, please email me and we will send you more information when it is available. The NFA board update from its May 2021 meeting is out and features a tribute to longtime board member and chairman of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Jack Sander. Sander was a member of the NFA board for 35 years. The video style has not returned to shooting of the CEO Tom Sexton or chairperson Maureen Downs yet, but rather features an appealing montage of photos and text to tell the update story. The NFA board update is produced by John Lothian Productions. Osaka Exchange, Inc. and Tokyo Commodity Exchange, Inc., TOCOM, will start derivatives holiday trading around September 2022 and compiled the trading scheme. OSE and TOCOM are accepting public comment regarding the matter from this website. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. I was downtown yesterday at my office in the CBOT building. Activity in the building was still sparse. I had lunch at the Union League Club and it was pretty empty there too. It was a beautiful day in Chicago, so if this were normal times, it would be a day when you would have skipped the office. A car parking lot attendant I have known for years says parking in the lot is still on the small side and inconsistent. I did run into some people I knew, including Pat Kenny of CQG and John Walls of ADMIS. I also ran into Paul Bauerschmidt, who is now a managing director of technology for JP Morgan. The STA's latest Trading Views podcast features SEC Commissioner Carolyn Crenshaw in an interview that focuses largely on environmental, social, and corporate governance issues. Crenshaw describes the agency's approach to ESG amid growing investor demand for information about the sector. You can listen to it with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From CBOE Global Markets, CBOE Global Markets announces new community engagement program, CBOE Empowers. CBOE Empowers to provide mentorship, scholarship, and guidance to under-resourced students from elementary school to college and beyond. Program initially launched in Chicago with support from Greenwood Project working in the schools. CBOE Global Markets, Inc., a market operator and global trading solutions provider, today announced the creation of CBOE Empowers, a community engagement program that provides mentorship, scholarship, and guidance to under-resourced students throughout their educational journey through access to CBOE's associates, resources, work environment, and other learning and experience opportunities. My comment, CBOE and CME are in a competition on who can help the Chicago community and its young people more. I am glad to see exchange competition like this. Here's a story from the Washington Post. Farmers in Australia are burning their own crops. They're desperate to escape an epic plague infesting their hay. First came the drought, then the floods, now the mice. You can't get rid of the smell because they die in the walls. The mice are invading homes. They're destroying crops. They're chewing through appliances, sofas, cars, and livelihoods. Fighting back the plague, Colin Tink, 63, has been farming all his life and never experienced a mouse plague like the one ravaging Australia's eastern grain belt, nor a drought like the one that preceded it, which turned fertile crop areas into dust bowls. My comment, this is not good news. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Dreams of working from a beach risk turning into a tax nightmare. With more firms offering remote work as a job perk, employees are country hopping. That could mean myriad complications when they're filling returns. Imagine for a second that the pandemic is over. Global travel has resumed. COVID hotspots are a thing of the past, and companies are actually keeping a promise some have been making lately to allow remote work from anywhere in the world, at least for a few months a year. My comment, working at the beach is where one of those virtual backgrounds on Zoom works really well. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Paul Tudor Jones says economic orthodoxy has turned upside down. Paul Tudor Jones says on CNBC, inflation risk not transitory, says he likes Bitcoin and has a defensive position in it. Paul Tudor Jones said economic orthodoxy has been turned upside down with the Federal Reserve focused on unemployment even as inflation and financial stability are growing concerns. Inflation risk isn't transitory, the hedge fund manager said in an interview on CNBC. If the Fed says the U.S. economy is on the right path, then I would go all in on the inflation trade, buy commodities, crypto, and gold, he said. If they course correct, you will get a taper tantrum and sell off in fixed income and a correction in stocks. My comment, Paul, stop standing on your head when you make these pronouncements. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. As downtown shows signs of life again, new questions emerge. We've got a long way to go, to be sure, but workers are starting to find their way back to the city's core. That said, there are still potential stumbling blocks. Like a grove of trees sprouting anew after a Chicago winter, something has reappeared in my office. Not leaves, but colleagues here at beautiful 150 North Michigan Avenue. A new one or two almost every day now after better than a year existing in Zoom City. My comment, the story said that in the middle of May, there were still only 11% occupancy of downtown offices. That is up from about 8% during the height of the pandemic. Here's a story from The Economist. Remote workers work longer, not more efficiently. The return to the office is well underway, just as summer in the Northern Hemisphere begins. Pretty soon, people will be able to resume the habit of staring wistfully out of the window, hoping it will still be sunny at the weekend. As many workers embrace a hybrid pattern, perhaps commuting 2 to 3 days a week, the experiment in full-time homeworking is ending. At the same time, assessments of its effectiveness are proliferating. My comment, how efficient are you when your dog wants to go for a walk? Yesterday, I took a business call while I was walking mine. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was the CME Group's amendments to and delisting of certain CME and CBOT products in connection with the elimination of most CME and all CBOT open outcry trading pits and related frequently asked questions for members and member firms. That's a mouthful. Second was the YouTube video clip of Ned Beatty's speech from the movie Network written by Patty Shalevsky about how the world is a business, Mr. Beale. Third was U.S. regulators urge financial firms to quickly ditch LIBOR rate benchmarks from Yahoo News. This is John Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 16, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Here are the stories and comments from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. I'm having a virtual fireside chat with former CFTC Chairman Chris Giancarlo today as part of the Chicago Bar Association annual seminar. Today, Euronext launched its Euronext Knowledge Center. It is billed as a central place for retail investors. Euronext is looking for a commodity trading analyst. There's a link in today's newsletter for the job description. Congratulations to Mark Berman, Eugene Coulter, Carol Kennedy, Mary Minow, Annette Nazareth, and Eric Null, who have all been named to the advisory board of Option Solutions. DRW has a commentary on its website titled Applying Computer Science to a Career in Trading. Quantitative trading analyst shares how he applies his background in computer science to his career at DRW. Tradier Inc. recently announced its live web series, Options Brew TV. One of the latest episodes on the Options Brew TV playlist is What is a Box Strategy Using Options? Check it out with a link in today's newsletter. Several years ago, I shared a television studio at Channel 11 in Chicago with Kelly Richmond Pope, CPA, professor of accounting and Sargent faculty fellow at DePaul University. Yesterday, she was promoted to a full professor of accounting at DePaul in Chicago. She is one of 2.1% of tenured black women professors in the U.S. Congratulations, Kelly. NASDAQ is holding an LGBT Leaders Conference on June 24th. It will feature conversations with Chelsea Clinton, Eric Fanning, A.G. Breitenstein, Alex Marshall, and others. The program is virtual and everyone is invited. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. FIA continues to leverage their FIA Hall of Fame inductee interviews with another episode of FIA Speaks, episode 18. FIA features Hall of Fame inductees Doug Harris and Brian Durkin. There's a link in today's newsletter. This seems like a job for Newman from Seinfeld. The Girl Scouts are stuck with over 15 million boxes of unsold cookies. The pandemic and reduced membership caused them to order too many. You can order Girl Scout cookies with a link in today's newsletter. The American Financial Exchange made a significant donation to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday in appreciation of our work on a video about the life of their CEO, Dr. Richard Sandor. AFX will also become a sponsor of the JLN Weekend Update as a consequence of their donation. Thank you to Dr. Sandor and the AFX team for their donation and all who have given, and thank you to all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Hong Kong Exchange celebrates 21st anniversary. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited, today, Wednesday, marked the 21st anniversary of its listing in Hong Kong with a celebration ceremony held at the Hong Kong Exchange Connect Hall. Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam was guest of honor at the ceremony alongside Hong Kong Financial Secretary Paul Chan. They were joined at the event by members of the Hong Kong Exchange Board of Directors and Hong Kong Exchange Senior Management, where a new corporate film was unveiled, highlighting the importance of connectivity and sustainability in the future of Hong Kong's financial markets. My comment, and the next 21 will be even better. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Billionaires are tapping skyrocketing fortunes to fund record giving. Mackenzie Scott and Jack Dorsey, along with foundations, helped boost charitable donations in a year when it was sorely needed. Americans gave a record $471.1 billion to U.S. charities in 2020, much of it stemming from the fortunes made in technology. The philanthropic total, about 70% from individuals, was an estimated 3.8% higher than in 2019, after adjusting for inflation, according to an annual survey by Giving USA released Tuesday. My comment, to whom much is given, much will be required. Here is a press release from CBOE Global Markets. CBOE to extend global trading hours for VIX and SPX options to nearly 24 hours beginning November 21st, 2021, aims to meet growing customer demand for SPX, VIX options to hedge and manage exposure to broad U.S. equity market and global equity volatility. Move to extend global trading hours expected to complement upcoming planned launch of CBOE Europe derivatives and the planned acquisition of Chi-X Asia Pacific. New curb session planned to go live on September 27, 2021. CBOE Global Markets, Inc., a market operator and global trading solutions provider, today announced its plan to extend global trading hours, GTH, for its S&P 500 Index, SPX, options, and CBOE Volatility Index, VIX, options, to nearly 24 hours each business day on CBOE Options Exchange, beginning Sunday, November 21st, 2021, subject to regulatory review. My comment in review, MIAX is extending its trading hours to 26 hours a day. This trick involves the International Dateline and the Bermuda Triangle. Here is a press release from Jones Day. DeFi identified as potential focus for CFTC enforcement action. CFTC commissioner asserts that decentralized finance, DeFi, likely violates the Commodity Exchange Act and that the regulator should respond accordingly. DeFi is an umbrella term encompassing a range of blockchain financial markets designed to offer financial services through a distributed platform that does not involve traditional financial intermediaries such as banks, exchanges, and brokerages. DeFi proponents argue that removing these intermediaries increases efficiency and grants consumers more control over their investments and trading activities. This is especially so in the cryptocurrency space. For example, over $20 billion in cryptocurrency was traded using DeFi as of January 2021, a 20-fold increase from the prior year. In response to this demand growth, DeFi platforms are quickly proliferating. Here's a press release from Option Solutions mentioned earlier. Option Solutions appoints advisory board. Option Solutions LLC, a specialized asset management firm that was created to help high net worth individuals add conservative option strategies to their portfolios, has appointed an advisory board. The advisory board will advise senior management on issues that are critical to the company and its clients, providing additional expertise and insight. My comment, they put quite a team together. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was remote workers work longer, not more efficiently, from The Economist. Second was, as downtown shows signs of life again, new questions emerge, from Crane Chicago Business. Third was, Facebook page for remembering K. James Kleinup, who recently passed away, posted by his son Jeffrey Kleinup. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 17th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Today, JLN has a video interview with FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan and FIA Tech President and CEO Nick Salinger about the deal announced yesterday for 10 global banks to invest in FIA Tech to allow them to expand their work. Thank you to FIA Steve Adamski for setting this up. There is some good news for crypto from the UK's FCA. FCA research reveals an increase in crypto asset ownership and greater awareness among UK adults. Research published by the FCA estimates that 2.3 million adults now hold crypto assets, up from 1.9 million last year. 78% of adults have now heard of crypto assets, up from 73% in a year. Also, in U.S. politics, the Republican Congressional Committee has agreed to accept cryptocurrency for political donations. So now you can buy a congressman using your Bitcoin. How many Satoshis do you think that would take? JP Morgan has spiced up its portfolio with Nutmeg. The bank agreed to buy digital wealth manager Nutmeg Saving and Investment Limited, part of a push to establish a retail banking presence in the UK, The Wall Street Journal reported. my fireside chat with former CFTC Chairman Chris Giancarlo at the Chicago Bar Association annual seminar went well. I learned he has a new book coming out this fall titled, wait for it, Crypto Dad. It was 5 years ago today that IEX learned its exchange application was approved by the SEC. They captured the moment their team was informed of the approval in a YouTube video. A link is available in today's newsletter. After the big donation from the American Financial Exchange yesterday, there were no new donations. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Today, I am interviewing Megan Dugan of the NYC for the Path to Electronic Trading video series. I interviewed Tim Brennan earlier this week, who has been Megan's boss at one time. I have lost 45 pounds and counting since the start of the pandemic. My strategy is intermittent fasting. The book that really helped me understand the science behind this is The Obesity Code by Jason Fung. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Walt Lukin and Nick Salinger explain FIA Tech investor deal. It's a video from JLN. FIA Tech announced yesterday a deal to take on 10 global banks as investors in the company in order to grow the for-profit FIA-affiliated firm. John Lothian, that's me, interviewed FIA Chairman and CEO Walt Lukin and FIA Tech President and CEO Nick Salinger over Zoom about the deal. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Fed sued to block Aon's $30 billion Willis Towers deal. The combo to create the world's largest insurance brokerage is anti-competitive, says the Justice Department. The U.S. Justice Department sued to block Aon's proposed $30 billion acquisition of Willis Towers Watson, saying the deal to create the world's largest insurance brokerage is anti-competitive. My comment, Chicago did not need another monopoly. Here is a story from citizensforethics.com. Two dark money groups shut down following crew complaints. Two dark money groups quietly filed paperwork terminating their corporate existence after crew filed complaints against them with the Federal Election Commission related to political activity backed by undisclosed donors, continuing a pattern of groups shutting down in recent months. In late November 2020, crew filed complaints against three nonprofits and a super PAC over their efforts to funnel money from anonymous sources into the 2018 elections. Since then, two of the nonprofits, the Government Integrity Fund and the Jobs and Progress Fund, terminated their operations, a move that could impact how FEC rules on complaints. My comment, of course, former Senator Kelly Loeffler's picture is in this story, and her campaign is mentioned. Here's a story from Reuters. Financial surrealism. Lebanese opt for beer over banks. Lebanese seek ways to use devalued money. Many use trapped dollars to repay outstanding debt. Central bank plans measures to reduce liabilities. Huge losses in financial system still not addressed. Faced with the choice of leaving their savings stuck in the bank or investing them at a huge loss, some Lebanese people are opting to take a punt. For them, it's the only sensible option in a financial system warped by crisis. My comments, yes, beer over banks, yes, that is the right choice. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was our lead story. 10 global clearing firms make strategic investment in FIA Tech, a press release from the Futures Industry Association. Second was DeFi identified as potential focus for CFTC enforcement action from Jones Day. Third was the trades version of the FIA Tech News. Clearing firms invest $44 million in FIA Tech to support derivatives market innovation. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 18th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off, JLN, today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. We have a new and improved version of the spread video series. We have overhauled our approach to this video series and have the whole JLN team contributing to it. Suzanne Cosgrove has been named producer of the series. The new spread features different segments from Suzanne Cosgrove and myself in this first episode. It also includes a segment called Term of the Week, which are short videos from industry players explaining key option terms. If you're interested in appearing in one of these Term of the Week videos, please reach out to me or Suzanne. The new format is a work in progress, and we will be adding other new features and segment types. Stay tuned. We are migrating MarketsWiki to a new version of MediaWiki and PHP today around 1 p.m. If you are an editor, please don't make any additions to the site today. The new version does not have some of the old functionality. We believe we have resolved many of these issues, but there are still some to address. Some we know of and some we don't. If you see an issue on the site, let us know. Also, Crypto Markets Wiki's transition to Markets Wiki is almost complete, and the CryptoMarketsWiki.com site will be decommissioned next week. The FIA has a webinar coming up on June 22nd from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, titled Enhancing the Clearing Ecosystem, Post-Trade Processing and Clearing. It will be moderated by Emily Costello, Vice President of ABN AMRO Clearing, and feature Patricia Hergenrother, Vice President Operations Deutsche Bank Securities, Fusa Kun Pak Hamsi, Listed Derivatives Credit Suisse Securities, and Jason McDonnell, Head of ETD and OTC Clearing North America. Also, Steve Rand, Director, Societe Generale, is on the panel too. You can sign up with a link in today's newsletter. The LME has two webinars coming up. The first is on July 14th at 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. British Summer Time, and it is titled Introduction to the LME and Hedging, 3 days virtual. Sign up with a link in today's newsletter. The second LME webinar is titled Introduction to LME Warehousing and Physical Trading, 1 day virtual, and is scheduled for Thursday, July 15th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. British Summer Time. The NFA has several job openings in compliance. Four of them are listed on LinkedIn with a link in today's newsletter. Congratulations to Deutsche Börse on their Group Sports Challenge and Pride Month. The Cork Sports and Social Club hosted a color run yesterday. For every employee that registered for the Group Sports Challenge, a sum of money was added to their 2021 charity fund. Also, Deutsche Börse Group noted on LinkedIn that by wearing the Pride colors with our GSC t-shirts, we also visually represent the Pride movement, express inclusivity, and show support to our LGBTQ friends and family. CBOE's Henry Schwartz noted on LinkedIn that the options industry set another record yesterday for total listings. He wrote, single stocks with options surpassed 4,000 for the first time this week. 4,971 stocks, ETFs, and indices have traded options available today, 16% above year-ago levels. MIAX is extending its zero exchange fees for spikes futures for another 3 months. We had no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. I am very proud of the readership for clicking on the obesity code link yesterday. It is a great book that really helped me understand my body, diet, and exercise. I even mentioned it to some of my doctors, and they took note of it. Everyone has an interest in good health, which can lead to improvements in all aspects of your life, personal and business. As more companies return to their workplaces, we checked in with CBOE Global Markets on the long-planned move of its Chicago office on LaSalle Street to a new space at the old post office building on Van Buren. A spokesman said construction is complete and the offices are move-in ready. However, the space currently remains closed and most CBOE staffers continue to work remotely. We will initially open the space to associates who would like to return to the office on a voluntary basis with health and safety guidelines in place, the spokeswoman said, adding that CBOE has not yet established a required return to office date for its associates. That was Suzanne Cosgrove reporting that last item. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. The spread. Inflation is a thing. Small traders are still big. John Lothian, that's me, weighs in on the current trading landscape, and NASDAQ wins the May options market share race. All this and the debut of the options term of the week in the spread. You can watch it with a link on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Investors leap at chance to double their money in 1,387 years. Money pours in after Federal Reserve raises its interest rates to 0.05% from zero. Want to know how sensitive investors are to tiny differences in interest rates? Look at what happened after the Federal Reserve decided June 16th to raise the rate it pays on its overnight reverse repurchase facility to 0.05% from 0.00%. You'd need 1,387 years to double your money at that puny rate. Still, it was enough to draw $756 billion in funds on June 17th, a 45% increase from when the Fed was paying a flat zero. My comment, capital preservation is just as important as capital appreciation. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Reflation trades pummel as Fed's shift resets markets. Commodities and value stocks hit while dollar surges after U.S. Central Bank brings forward dates for raising rates. The reflation trade that has dominated financial markets since the emergence of coronavirus vaccines last year has been pummeled after the Federal Reserve unexpectedly signaled a shift in its stance on inflation. My comment, for those of you who thought there was no volatility lately, we had some yesterday. It would normally take the end of a drought to see this kind of bloodbath in the grains. Here's a story from The Guardian. Netherlands offers free herring as COVID jab incentive. After Russia offered cars, Washington State blifts Indonesia live chickens and Hong Kong the chance of a £1.2 million apartment. The latest country to reward people who show up for their COVID shots is the Netherlands, with soused herring. Early batches of Hollandaise New, or New Season Dutch herring, a traditional delicacy consumed to the tune of $75 million a year, are being distributed to vaccination centers around the country as an encouragement for people to get their jabs. My comment, COVID improves herring? Here's a press release from Symphony. The importance of diversity of thought as firms navigate data democratization across people, processes, and platforms. The value of diversity of thought in business is well established. Companies where 30% of executives or more are women are nearly 50% more likely to outperform financially, and 67% of candidates when evaluating job offers. A range of backgrounds and experiences facilitates creativity, problem solving, and positive outcomes. My comment, don't put all your eggs in one basket when investing or picking gender or background of your employees. Here's a story from bizjournals.com. The Chicago Venture Summit will resume this fall. The Chicago Venture Summit, an annual event for venture capitalists to connect with the city's startups, will return this fall after being canceled last year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The two-day event, hosted by World Business Chicago and Chicago Next, is scheduled for September 28th to 29th at 167 Green Street in Fulton Market. My comment, Chicago is the greatest venture capital city in the history of Illinois. Here's a story from NASDAQ, an updated intern's guide to the market structure gallery. Today we focus on market participants, IPOs, the rise of retail, and automation. We also explain some of the core concepts about how markets work. As summer starts, we thought it was a perfect time to update our intern's guide to the market structure galaxy. This short introduction has plenty of links for interns looking to take a deeper dive into the topics mentioned. My comment, where can I get my copy? The top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story was U.S. financial executive dies by suicide as firm faces financial fraud claims. From Reuters via Yahoo Finance. Second was John Lothian News video, Walt Lukin and Nick Solinger explain FIA tech investor deal. And third was Amazon.com page for the book The Obesity Code, which I mentioned in Hits and Takes. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.